This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It's just gone past 7:35 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 17th of February. And as usual, in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. What is happening today, Philip?
Very interesting grill. Koh Soo Chuang will be grilling Dato' Azman Mahmud, CEO of Malaysian Investment Development Authority, more commonly known as MIDA. And so MIDA joins us on the breakfast grill with their CEO to discuss the Malaysian proposition in an increasingly competitive ASEAN region against the backdrop of a global recovery of the COVID-19 pandemic and a global technological revolution.
Yeah, very interesting, especially since every country in the world is fighting for foreign direct investment, hoping to, you know, resuscitate their economy and overcoming the consequences of the pandemic. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, our neighbour, Singapore, announced their budget for 2021. Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat announced the government's plans to spend 11 billion Singapore dollars, which is about 33.4 billion ringgit.
Yeah, this marks the third straight year of budget deficits, although it is narrower than the record high of 13.9% in the 2020 financial year. The spending plan includes a six-month extension of wage subsidies targeted at vulnerable sectors, support for the aviation sector, and a gradual boost to the GST or goods and services tax between 2022 and 2025. Looking ahead, the Singaporean government projects GDP to grow 4 to 6% this year. This comes after the city-state registered the largest ever GDP contraction of 5.4% in 2020.
So for more colour on the Singapore budget, joining us on the show this morning is Kun Goh, Head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank. Good morning, Kun. Now, did the budget announcement largely come in line with your expectations?
Good morning. Yes, the budget was largely in line. There wasn't any real surprises. The extension of the COVID assistance was largely what most business sector was expecting. It's a lot more targeted, obviously, with the Singapore economy now on recovery mode. There isn't a need to be as generous as what it was last year. But nonetheless, there were sectors that are still badly hit, such as tourism, and they are getting much needed targeted assistance. So there are no real surprises there.
So aside from the mention of tourism, which is of course impacted, what were the other key takeaways?
Well, the government is also clearly focused on the longer term challenges that climate change poses. So there was quite a bit in terms of unveiling a Singapore Green Plan 2030. So some projects that are green have been identified, about 19 billion Singapore dollars. And also for the first time, the Singapore government is planning to issue infrastructure green bonds to fund those longer term projects. So that was something that is specific, which is not COVID related, but clearly trying to plan for the future challenges that climate change will bring to Singapore.
Yeah, really interesting, because a nice balance of short and long-term measures. Now, the bill came up to about 2.2% of GDP, the deficit. Now, this is actually better than estimates from consensus from Bloomberg analysts, about 4%. Do you think this reflects confidence in the economy that will rebound this year?
I think this also reflects the fact that the Singapore government went big and went hard last year, culminating in a record deficit of over 16% of GDP. Hence, because they have committed so much last year, there's less need to do more. In fact, if the government did not provide another 11 billion for the COVID resilience package, the budget would actually be more balanced this year. So I think the additional 11 billion that they spent, they felt a need to target it to really ensure that the recovery that is underway really is sustained.
But in the meantime, the government is still obviously running a budget deficit. And are there any key risks on this front, because it's the third year in a row or third year running?
In fact, it's actually only the second year, because the earlier estimates from 2 years ago got revised to a small surplus. But yes, it is very unusual to run back-to-back deficits, but we are in unprecedented times here. But looking at where the economy is heading, I have confidence that the budget will get back to balance at least, or potentially even a small surplus. And don't forget, the government is still committed to increasing GST at some stage between 2022 to 2025. So that will bring in additional revenue, which will definitely help to push the budget balance back into the black.
Yeah, so your point about targeted holes, especially when you see how they are really targeting sectors. But if you deep dive further in the household support, I mean, GST vouchers, the save waivers, the SMCC rebate, broadly, the support for families and households is quite broad-reaching, no?
Well, that's by design. I mean, the government is very, wants to ensure that the GST increase, when it comes, does not unduly burden the low-income household. So therefore, they have already set aside GST vouchers to help offset low-income earners from the impacts of the GST. And there are various other support measures that they provided to the households. Again, that's not new. There has been various packages over the years to basically show up and try to reduce income inequality as much as they can. So I think all future budgets will always have some element of that.
And Kun, there was an interesting statement coming out from the Deputy Prime Minister when he tabled the budget, and he said, what continues to distinguish Singapore are our investments in the future. Now, you've alluded to some of that with regards to the Green Plan, but what else is the government going to focus on?
Building skills definitely is also a feature. You know, it's all about not only making sure that the economy emerges stronger, but also that businesses have the necessary skilled workers and businesses can be innovative in order to really tackle the challenges that Singapore economy faces. And also at the same time, the Singapore government is still trying to reduce reliance on foreign talent. Now, obviously, if you do that and they have tightened certain restrictions, particularly in the manufacturing sector, when you do that, obviously, you got to make sure that businesses in Singapore can have access to adequate local talent. So this is where, you know, continued funding into job skills packages is still a very prominent feature.
And overall, the Ministry of Trade and Industry is also sticking to its earlier forecast of 4 to 6% growth. How does that compare with ANZ's full year projections?
So my forecast for 2021 is slightly higher than that. I'm anticipating 6.3% GDP growth. And, you know, it's, I think, very achievable. This economy had a very, very bad recession last year, but all the indicators are pointing to a recovery. There's a lot of expectations that hopefully with the vaccine rollout, and Singapore should have most of the population immunized by the end of the year. Hopefully that will start to see economic revival at a very, very strong pace. And hopefully towards the end of this year, international travel can start to open up a little bit more, and that will definitely ensure the recovery can really be strong this year.
Last quick question. How does RCEP factor in into all these numbers, short-term or long-term?
Well, RCEP is really more of a longer-term impact on not only the Singapore economy, but the region, because it still will take some time for all the countries to ratify it. So no immediate impact this year or potentially even next year, but I think RCEP does lay the groundwork for potential for further expansion investments in the region, not only by Singapore companies, but also by other countries as well into Singapore. So I think it's more about 3 to 10 year type of time frame in terms of seeing the benefits of that flowing through.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kun Goh, Head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank, giving us his views on the Singapore budget, which was clearly a balance in terms of managing short-term requirements to help the economy kind of get back on its feet, but also looking at long-term and, what other focus should the government be, or what other focus should the economy be on? What is that great reset? So we do know they're going to look at a green economy, which is important, and also building that important job skills to bring Singapore to the next level, right? Because they don't want to rely too much on foreign labor, especially in an economy which is so open.
It is a very comprehensive budget. I mean, you look at the work they've done in terms of climate change, right? The Singapore Green Plan, The EV initiative, 60,000 charging points, carbon tax at $5 per ton maintained. They're going to apply more duties for petrol. It's a very comprehensive plan, which has a very interesting balance of short and medium term and long term.
Yes, I think much needed because it cannot just always be on the short term. But up next, we'll be taking a look at the national vaccine strategy. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.